the Lord has put on your heart. Amen.
Well, good morning. Beginning of the service, I was wondering if people had heard about me preaching and decided not to come. More people showed up. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning.
Amen.
Let's turn over to 2 Kings 5:19 through 27. 2 Kings 5. You all have probably heard messages like this before, but I have to preach on the basics first, so you're going to hear, you know, some more basics. Let's see if I'm there. 2 Kings 5, 19 through 27. This is Elisha talking to Naaman here. And he said unto him, "Go in peace." So he departed from him a little way. But Gehazi, I'm going to call him Gehazi. Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, "Behold, my master hath spared Naaman the Syrian, in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him." So Gehazi followed after Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running after him, he lifted down from the chariot to meet him and said, "Is all well?" And he said, "All is well. My master has sent me, saying, Behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim two young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of raiment." And Naaman said, "Be content, take two talents." And he urged him and bound two talents of silver in two bags with two changes of garments, laid them upon two of his servants, and they bare them before him. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house, and let the men go, and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master. And Elisha said unto him, "Whence comest thou, Gehazi?" And he said, "Thy servant went not whither." And he said unto him, "Went not my heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money, to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever." And he went out of his presence a leper as white as snow. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for bringing each one here. I pray that you would bless them for coming to your house to hear the preaching of your word. I pray you'd help me anoint my lips, Lord. I pray that you would have me say everything you want me to say. I pray you bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So this is the story. Like, Naaman had just come to Elisha to be healed, and Elisha told him to dip in the Jordan, wash in the Jordan seven times. Naaman didn't want to at first, but he did, and he was healed, and he went back to give reward to Elisha, but Elisha refused it. But we're looking at the man Gehazi, we'll call him Gehazi, and the sins that he did here. So, let's see here. Verse 20, "But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, Behold, my master hath spared Naaman this Syrian, in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him." So his first sin we see here is that he coveted these riches. He was greedy. He saw an opportunity. Like, how can I get some riches here? He saw an opportunity. My master did not take the money. If you look in 2 Kings 5, and the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. So he took a lot of treasure with him to reward somebody who would heal Naaman. And Gehazi wanted some of that treasure. He loved money. 1 Timothy 6:10, the root of the love of money is the root of all evil, and we are to not be after filthy lucre, 1 Timothy 3:3 says. But Gehazi didn't have these verses. He didn't have 1 Timothy. He did, however, have Exodus 20. Go to Exodus 20, 15, I believe. Exodus 20. Exodus 20, 17. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. So Gehazi had this commandment to not covet, but he still said, I want that. I want that treasure. I want some of that. And so, and then he continues to sin. The sin leads to more sin. Yep. Next we see, since he had committed, I want that treasure, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get that treasure. And so now he's willing to lie and steal. Lie to steal. So, verse 21, so Gehazi followed after Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, is all well? And he said, all is well. My master has sent me, saying, behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim two young men, the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of garments. He lied. His master did not send him to do that. And you could say that Naaman, you know, he gave it to him. He didn't steal. But if you have to lie to get something, you're stealing. See, I think I need to turn my page here. Go to Proverbs 19:22. Proverbs 19. Proverbs is my favorite book of the Bible. Very practical. Proverbs 19:22. Desire of man is his kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. Gehazi didn't know that. He thought it would be better to lie and get some money. So Gehazi was stealing because he lied. It's like if, you know, you go in the grocery store and you walk out with something you didn't pay for. They asked, did you pay for it? And you say, yeah, I paid that other guy, but you didn't. And they let you out. Hey, they give you permission. No. You lied. You stole. If you have to lie, you stole. Similar story, we'll look at really quickly. Who all remembers Achan? Achan coveted. So I think that's in Joshua. Look it up here. Joshua 7:20. Similar story with similar lessons. Achan coveted. See, when he's making his confession. Verse 21, when I saw among the spoils the goodly embellished garments and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold, 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them. He was covetous like Gehazi, and he stole, and he was dishonest. Similar story with similar lessons. Might refer to that later again. So we see that sin will always lead to more sin. He continues to sin. Let's see here. Boy, I'm in the wrong place. I'm in 1 Samuel somehow. Here we are. Gehazi then tries to hide his sin. He stored them in the house, verse 24. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house. Bestowed, he stashed them there, he hid them there. He let the men go, and they departed. So he's trying to hide his sin. And that never really works out very great. And sins again, he lies to cover his sin. When asked by Elisha, what have you been up to? I didn't go anywhere. But Elisha knew. God had showed him that what Gehazi had been doing. Gehazi's name means denier. And he lived up to his name there. He tried denying his sin, but his sin was found out. There has been no reason to lie here to Elisha if he had not sinned in the first place. So this was just like a domino effect. Just sin, sin, more sin. So if you stack up the dominoes, knocked one over. Except when I do it, they're all supposed to fall over. Domino effect of sinning. Let's see. Psalm 119, 163. See here. Keep my finger in that spot. Longest chapter in the Bible. Here's what our attitude should be towards lying. Gehazi lied twice, to steal, and then to cover his sins. Our attitude towards lying should be verse 163 of Psalm 119. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. We're to abhor, to hate lying. Lying tongue is an abomination to the Lord. It's also in Proverbs somewhere. We'll look at a couple of verses in Proverbs talking about these things. Proverbs 12. Proverbs 12. Proverbs 12, 19 through 22. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace is joy. There shall no evil happen to the just, but the wicked shall be filled with mischief. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. Lying. Lying to your parents, lying to your boss, lying to anybody. It's an abomination. It's the sin of the devil. The devil's called father of the lies. I'm going to look up a verse here. Ephesians 4:25. I don't know why I wrote that one down. I'm going to see what it says. Ephesians 4:25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. It's a good verse. Put away lying. And Gehazi's sin is found out. Proverbs 21. Verses here. 21, Proverbs 21, 6. The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a vanity tossed to and fro of them that seek death. That's exactly what Gehazi did here. He was getting treasures by a lying tongue, and it was vain because he was quickly punished for that. Sin is always found out. Sin is always found out, but one thing you need to remember is God doesn't find out about your sin. He already knows. Nobody has to go and tell God that Jonathan sinned. Hey, that guy down there, he sinned again. Nobody tells him that. He knows beforehand, while we're doing it, after we're doing it, the whole time. So God doesn't find out. The verse that says, your sin will find you out, that's talking about consequences for sin. So others might find out, others might not find out. But God knows. Because we know that God knows everything. In this case, Gehazi's sin was found out by Elisha. God told him, I believe. And Elisha was the one who pronounced judgment on him. I lost my spot again. 2 Kings 5. Verses 26 and 27. And he said unto him, Elisha speaking to Gehazi. Went not my heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and manservants and maidservants? The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. Sin does not pay the way you want it to. Punishment for sin, for the unbelieving, is eternity in hell. All liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, hell and the lake of fire. It's punishment for sin, for those who don't believe. And it's final. That's one of the scariest parts to me. Sin is judged in hell forever and ever. And once you're there, you don't leave. Unless, you know, you cast them like a fire, and then that place is probably just as bad, if not worse. Praise God, He made a way of salvation. If we are born again, we will not suffer eternity in flames. There is no condemnation unto them who are in Christ Jesus, or those who believe. I didn't write down the verse, but there's no condemnation. Sin does still have its consequences, though, even for the believer. At the very least, there is loss of rewards and a loss of fellowship with Jesus. Very least. Also, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So that's another consequence for sin. But often there are other consequences for the sin of a Christian. You stop growing spiritually. You could have physical pain or hardship. The name of Christ could be damaged, is damaged. Someone might not get saved or might not get saved as soon as they could have because of a sin in a Christian's life. There's a sin unto death. Ananias and Sapphira, Acts 5, 1 through 11. I don't know if they were saved. I think they could have been. But they lied to Peter and to the Holy Ghost. Another sin of lying. People like to lie, apparently. A lot of stories of people lying and stealing and not going well at all. Here in Acts 5, we see Ananias and Sapphira. Peter says to him, verse 3, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost to keep back part of the price of the land? Because he had lied and said, this is all the money. And they were lying together. Verse 9, then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Gehazi had leprosy. These two died. Punishment for sin can be very severe. Sin's not always punished this way immediately. Sometimes God doesn't punish immediately. There's an example of Saul in the Bible. Judgment was pronounced that, you know, his son wouldn't reign. But, you know, Saul kept living. Saul didn't die immediately. There was some immediate consequences. And there was prophesied consequences, later consequences. All sorts of consequences for Saul's, you know, just two or three sins that he did. I'm not going to go over to that story, but mostly because I didn't write down the reference. But consequences will happen for sin. Several are immediate, and if we don't get right with the Lord, consequences will keep adding up. Let's see here. We as Christians should be doing all that we can to stay true and faithful to Christ. Let's see here. Mark 13, 33 through 37. Christ could come back at any time. Here in Mark, Christ gave us a command. Mark 13. Start in verse 31. I like verse 31. Mark 12, 31. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. God's word isn't going to pass away, so that we need to be faithful in studying God's word and praying. And that'll help us stay away from sin, such as lying, stealing. Verse 32. But of that day and of that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, at midnight, at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. What I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Christ commands us several times, watch, watch, watch. I have a song about it, watch and be ready or something like that. Watch, being ready. Be found faithful. Blessed is he. Blessed is that servant whose Lord shall come back and find faithful. Something like that. I don't write that one down either. When God comes back, will you be found faithful? Or will you be found a liar, like Gehazi? Gehazi was found to be a liar, and he paid dearly for that. Let's be found faithful, Pastor.
Thank you, Brother Jonathan. As he was reading this story, go back to 2 Kings 5, one second. Very good message, Brother Jonathan. I don't mean to say you missed anything, okay? There's always more. There's always more that we preachers do miss. You know, there's always more we could have added. So this is one thing that jumped out at me. In verse 20 of 2 Kings 5. What Gehazi is saying here, he says, "Behold, my master hath spared Naaman the Syrian in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth," that phrase just kind of struck me, "as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him." A lot of times we Christians will say, "Well, this is what the Lord would have me to do," and we make excuse to sin, blaming it on the Lord. Now, this phrase, "as the Lord liveth," it's not a direct blame on the Lord. This isn't like saying God wills me to do this, but he's putting the Lord in here as part of the idea. The Lord would bless this idea of mine. He's an enemy, and surely the Lord would not have an enemy go back to Assyria as rich as he came. And so we need to be careful, real careful. When we do things, not to blame God's leading on some decision of ours, when it could very well be God's leading to do the very opposite, but it's our flesh that is leading us to go that direction. And so that's what Gehazi did here. This is part of the Lord's leading here. As the Lord liveth, this is what he would want me to do. Take something from this enemy of ours. Anyway, appreciate that message, Brother Jonathan. Don't lie. Lying, God will always punish a lie, here or there. You know, sometimes it looks like people in the world are getting by with sin right now, but God is marking it down in His record book. And we don't always get to see, especially those people who are public figures, we don't get to see what happens in their lives. We don't get to see the personal problems, because they don't talk about the personal problems of people, usually, unless it's, you know, they passed away and they died, and then they announce that. But they don't talk about the divorces of these famous people that are rich billionaires, and the heartache that divorce went through, and the ripped up family, the torn up children's hearts, and the problems thereafter with those children rebelling, and all these other problems that come with sin. They don't talk about that. We only hear about the great things. Oh, he's got $1 million, and so he's a wonderful person, and he did great things, and so the world wants us to emulate them. No, he's a sinner. And yeah, the Lord has blessed him. But with that blessing came a lot of heartache. He has to worry now about keeping all that money, for one thing. He has to worry about who's going to take it from him. So anyway, lying. There are always punishments that come with lying. And yeah, people get ahead by lying. But God always punishes it. God always brings a punishment. And of course, if he doesn't bring the punishment in their lifetime, and they die in their sin, well, the Lord Jesus is going to punish that sin for all of eternity too, in the lake of fire. Don't lie. God hates the lying tongue, kids. These things that the Lord hate, yea, seven, are an abomination unto him. Top one, a lying tongue. Very first one, a lying tongue. Don't have a lying tongue. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your word today. Father, I pray for these young people that they each would understand how much God hates a liar. God hates lying. And so, Father, help us to put away a lying tongue from our mouth. Help us to speak truth, every one of us, truth with our neighbor. Lord, bless this message, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.